All right, well, welcome Facebook to our service today. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and we'd be glad to have you with us in person, but we're pleased that you're joining us online. You can learn more about us at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. So, as we have already said, this is Father's Day, and so it'd be very unusual to speak something other than about fathers on Father's Day. So we're going to look at the journey that a father in the Word took and his sons. But I want to start by sharing with you a verse that says, to Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah and his brothers. And then in the King James Version, it uses a word we don't too often use. It says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. So my question today is, are fathers only begatters? Is that our only job, to sire children? Come on, absolutely not. Ephesians 6:4. This is a message directly to fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but instead, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So today we're going to look at what bring them up means. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now we realize, the same as we do on Mother's Day, that not every father is a natural father. Some are spiritual fathers. And you are men that have intentionally helped disciple and raise up the next generations. So we're speaking to you today as well. So this challenge is for natural fathers and spiritual fathers. So bring up. What does that word mean in Scripture? It means train, raise up to maturity. Literally, that Greek word means to take them from where they are to where they need to be by nourishing and cherishing them. Come on, that's good. I want to read that again. It means to take them from where they are, so where you got them when they were little, and you're nourishing them and cherishing them, and you're helping to get them to where God wants them to be. Bring them up. So fathers, come on then. That means we need to understand how best to nourish our physical and spiritual children. So now we want to look at the word nourish. That means to supply what is necessary for life, health, and growth. Come on. We're nourishing them. We're supplying what they need for life, okay? A house, clothes, food, but much more than that. We're supplying what they need for health and what they need to grow. Life, health, and growth. So some words that describe a little further what nourish means. And again, this is from a word study of that word. And it means attend to, comfort, encourage, furnish, nurse, provide, and support. I'll read that again. Now, I have to admit, I think the ladies do a much better job with comfort and nurse than us men do. You know, we're like, you hurt yourself, go get a Band-Aid, right? And mommy makes a bigger fuss and holds and kisses and says, oh, what a boo-boo you have and all that. But we just say, go get a Band-Aid, right? But so then that leaves enough of them for us. Attend to. Give them your attention. Encourage them. Build them up. Don't let them quit. Give them courage. That's what the word encourage means. Give them courage to press through difficult times. Furnish what they need. Provide for their life and health and growth. And support them. Well, you can't support them if you're not present. So you need to be there and support them and encourage them. To nourish means so much more than just providing finances, because they don't just want our money and our presence, they want our presence. You get that? Not money and gifts, but our presence, our time with them. Would you agree, fathers? All right. So as I was thinking about what father he would want me to talk about today, and praying about what father he would want to talk to me about today, talk with you about today, I realized in scriptures we have way too many examples of fathers who didn't do it too well. But the one that I felt God wanted me to share with you about, and for us to go on a journey together and look at his development and his son's development, he made some mistakes, but then he redeemed himself. Okay, so who can relate to that? You've made some mistakes, but you're hoping to redeem yourself, right? So we're going to look at Jacob today, and you can follow along with me because we're just going to jump all around. So you can either choose just to listen, or if I announce where I'm going, if you can get there quick enough, you can follow along. But this starts in Genesis 37, first book in the Bible. Genesis 37. Okay, so 37, verse 1. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his other father's wives. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things that his brothers were doing. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children. Oops. Yeah, that should be a red flag right there. And that caused all kinds of difficulties. Because he had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph. Why? Because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Jacob, unfortunately, chose to give all his attention to Joseph. And all of his other sons then ended up feeling rejected. And what did it do? It caused them to feel unloved, unappreciated, and unfortunately, unfathered. So how did they react? Now, some sons may have been able to push through that and respond correctly, but in this situation, we see that his brothers, in turn, feeling unfathered, made some bad choices. So we are going to jump to verse 23. So still in Genesis 37, and now we're in verse 23. You following along the story with me? All right. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him. And they took him and they threw him into the pit. That was pretty drastic for brothers to do, right? Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal. What? You throw your brother in a pit and then you sit down to eat a meal. Okay. As they raised their eyes, they looked and behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh. They were on their way to bring it down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come and let us instead sell him to the Ishmaelites. We won't lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Okay, we're not going to kill him because he's our brother, but we're going to sell him into slavery. Great, right? All right, verse 31. So then they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the varicolored tunic and brought it to their father and said, "We found this. Please examine it to see whether it's your son's tunic or not." Yeah, okay, like they didn't know, right? Then he examined it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." So Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on and mourned his son many days. Then all his sons and daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "Surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's official, the captain of the bodyguard. All because of a father's neglect, because the sons felt unfathered and jealous, and they allowed envy and bitterness to rise in their heart. So now Joseph is gone. He's in Egypt. You're familiar with the rest of the story. He's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife tries to lure him into having relations with her, and he flees away, but the husband still thinks his wife was correct. He gets put in prison, and he's in prison for quite a while. So in the meantime, the brothers are watching how his father's responding to having lost this favorite son. Now, he also has another son, Benjamin, at this point, and they're starting to raise him. And then you know that Joseph, because of interpreting dreams, gets out of prison. Pharaoh makes him second over the whole country. God gives him wisdom on how to prevent the whole nation of Egypt from dying of famine. He stores up the excess grain and then he meters it out to people as they need it. And so I don't want to leave the story where it is, because there's some redemption that happens. There's some restoration of relationships that happen. So follow along with me. We're now in chapter 42. Genesis 42. Now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. They didn't have any. They had run out of food. And Jacob said to his sons, "Why are you staring at one another? Behold, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Then the 10 brothers of Joseph went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "I'm afraid that harm may befall him." Verse 18. Now Joseph said to them on the third day, so they had come and he hadn't revealed himself to them yet, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in prison. But as for the rest of you, go carry grain for the famine of your households. And bring your younger brother to me, so your words may be verified and you may not die." And they did so. So they came down, and he said he had heard that there was a younger brother. And so he said, "Well, one of you stay here until I know you're not lying to me, and bring your younger brother." Then they said to one another, "Truly, we are guilty concerning our brother." They're talking about Joseph, but they don't know the guy before them is Joseph, because now he looks more like an Egyptian. "Because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, his distress has come upon us." They did not know, however, that Joseph understood, for he had been using an interpreter between them. And he turned away from them, Joseph, and he wept. But when he returned to them and spoke to them, he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Okay? So he took Simeon, putting him in prison, sent them back to see if they were being honest with him or not. And what his whole plan was, he just wanted to meet his younger brother. Right? So now they go back to their father. So let's jump down to 43, verse 1. Chapter 43, verse 1. Now famine was severe in the land where Jacob and his family were living. So it came about when they had finished eating all the grain that they had bought in Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us some more food." And Judah said, "The man solemnly warned us, 'You shall not see me again unless your brother is with you.' If you send our brother with us, then we will go and buy you food. But if you don't send him, we're not going to go. For the man said, 'You should not stand before me unless your brother is with you.' Why did you treat me so badly? Why did you tell the Egyptian whether or not there was another brother?" And they said, "But he questioned us about our relatives. He said, 'Is your father still alive? Do you have another brother?' So we answered his questions. How could we lie? We didn't know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down.' So Judah said to his father Israel, 'Send the lad with me. We will rise and go, that we may live and not die, we as well as you and all of our little ones. I myself will be the guarantee. You hold me responsible. If I do not bring him back and set him before you, I will bear the blame forever.'" You think the brothers have changed a little bit? See, they're not the same guys that sold Joseph into slavery. All right, verse 11. Then their father Israel said to them, Israel's Jacob's other name, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best produce of the land with you and carry it down to the man as a present. Bring him a little balm and some honey and some gum and some myrrh and some nuts and some almonds. Take double the money in your hand. Take back in your hand the money that was returned in your sack." So Joseph had taken their money they gave him, and he actually had returned it to them. "Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and arise and return to the man. And may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man, so that he will release to you your other brother." Remember, he threw Simeon in prison. "And he'll send Benjamin home for me. But if I'm bereaved, then I'm bereaved." Okay? Following along, we're watching how he has changed, and he's watching how the brothers, we're watching how the brothers have changed. All right, 26. So when Joseph came home, they brought them into the house, and they were present with him. They bowed down to the ground before him. And then he asked about their welfare. "Is your old father well, of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He's still alive." And then they bowed down again and offered homage. As he lifted his eyes, he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke?" And he said to Benjamin, "May God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over having seen and met his brother. And he sought a place to weep, and he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. He controlled himself. And he said, "Serve the meal." Okay. So now they ate with him. They bought more grain. They left. But Joseph was being tricky again. This time he put one of his gold cups in Benjamin's sack. And he sent his servants and said, hey, I'm missing a cup. And they said, we didn't take it. We didn't take it. We're sure we didn't take it. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. And sure enough, it was in Benjamin's sack. All right. Now, remember, Judah had said to his father, I'm responsible. At one point, they wouldn't have done that because this was their stepbrother, okay? Same mother as Joseph, but not the same mother as they had. And I'm sure that Jacob doted on him a little bit, but not to the extent that he did Joseph, because they did not feel unfathered and unloved, and they did not have bitterness and envy toward Benjamin like they had toward Joseph. All right, verse 32, you following along? So this is Jacob. I, your servant, became the guarantee for the lad to my father. And I said to my father, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame forever. Now, therefore, okay, now, this time he's volunteering. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad, and I will be a slave to my Lord. Let the lad go with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me? For fear that I see the evil that would overtake my father. When they did what they did to Joseph, did they care? They didn't. I mean, they killed a goat, they smeared the blood all over the tunic, they sent it to the father, and then they stood there and acted like they didn't know anything about it. Could this be Joseph? Did something happen to your favorite? He goes, yes, this is my son's cloak. They didn't have any remorse at all when they originally did it. Now Judah's saying, I can't let this happen to my father. I can't let you keep Benjamin. And he wasn't even going to kill Benjamin. He just threatened to throw him in prison. Never intended to do it, but he threatened to throw him in prison. And he said, no, I'll stay and be your slave instead. He didn't know if he was saying that for the rest of his life or not. So some things had changed in their relationship. All right, well, continuing on. Well, for some reason, Facebook stopped. So now I can do what I like to do and roam around a little bit. I don't have to stand there. It does this to me every time. I don't know why. It doesn't like me. All right. Then Joseph could not control himself. See, he noticed the difference. He noticed their concern for his father. Because they all stood by him, and he cried, everyone, go out from me. He meant all his servants. So there was no other man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Come on. He wasn't bitter, was he? He wasn't resentful. He wanted to do everything he could to restore his relationship with his brothers. And he was so glad to see them. This was his response. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? He's asked this five times, okay? But he wants to make sure. His brothers couldn't even answer him. They were in such dismay. Then Joseph said, come closer, come closer. And they came closer. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. Wow. Because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land only 2 years, and there are five years still in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive with a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it's not you who sent me here to Egypt, but God. And he made me as a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord over all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen. and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children. Okay, all my brothers and all of their wives and all of their kids, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. Therefore, I will provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine, and you and your household and all that you have would have been impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth speaking to you. Now you must go tell my father of all the splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers and wept on them. And afterwards, he and his brothers talked. Come on. Amen. So there is hope for family restoration, isn't there? All right, verse 25. So then the brothers went up from Egypt and came to the land of Canaan and came to their father Jacob. And they said to Jacob, their father, Joseph is still alive, and indeed he is ruler over all of Egypt. But he was so stunned, he could not believe them. When they told him all the words of Joseph and all that he had spoken to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him back, his spirit revived. Then Israel said, "Ah, it's enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." Yay. All right. 46, verse 5. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. How about that? Pharaoh, evil ruler, but he's working with Joseph, and he's willing to send wagons to bring Jacob and the entire family down. They took their livestock and their property and all that they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and they came to Egypt. Jacob and all of his descendants, his sons and his grandsons, his daughters and his granddaughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. So now they're all traveling down. Verse 29. They've arrived in Goshen. Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And as soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept there for a long time. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and that you are still alive." So then, moving on in the story a little bit, Joseph didn't live a long time, but he lived a little while. And as he was dying, he called all of his sons. So now they're all together. Regardless of stepbrothers or whatever they were to one another, he called them all together. He blessed them and prophesied over every one of them. They all came together. And then it says in chapter 49, verse 1, Jacob summoned his sons and said, "Assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come." And he went down through each one, blessed them, and prophesied over them. And the end of the story is verse 28. This is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one of them. All right. Interesting story. Reconciliation with each other. Reconciliation with father. Father changed, didn't he? His attention wasn't just on his favorite son anymore. He wanted to make sure all of his sons felt fathered. All of his sons were blessed. He prophesied. He spoke as inspired by the Holy Spirit over each of them and told them what their futures were going to look like. So we as fathers, we can grow and we can mature and we can get better at this, right? And God can redeem the things that we did not do perfectly. So let's remind ourselves, fathers are to nourish. And that meant supply what is necessary for life, health, and growth for their natural and spiritual children. That includes giving them our time and attention and encouraging them to pursue the Lord and His plans for their lives. Amen? So as I was thinking about this message today and fathers and presenting a challenge to fathers, I felt the Lord said, well, don't just leave it there. The fathers aren't the only ones that have responsibilities. How about us as sons and daughters? So we're just going to close by just a couple verses here that are charges for us and our godly responsibilities to our parents. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. Obviously, that's referring back to one of the Ten Commandments. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Come on, did you remember that promise was connected? Honor your father and mother, and you will have a long life, and things will go well with you. The word honor, prize, value, and revere. Consider as valuable, costly, esteemed, and greatly loved. So I thought, you know, today we should stop and consider, have we caused our fathers to feel valued and loved? Is there something we could say or do, if they're still living and still around, this week and going forward, that would show them that we honor them? Finally, let's remind ourselves that we are children of a loving Heavenly Father. 1 John 3:1-2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Okay, Scripture makes that clear. I wasn't just saying that. That's part of the Scripture. That is what we are, beloved. Now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what all we shall be, but we do know that when He appears, we will be like Him as we see Him as He really is. Would you agree that our Heavenly Father encourages us, provides for us, spends time with us and listens to us, comforts and supports us? He is a good Father. He pursues us and runs after us. In Luke 15, it says, He got up and returned home to His father, and while He was still a long way off, His father saw Him. Remember the story? While He was still a long way off, His father saw Him. The only way that could have happened is if the father daily went to the gate and looked down the road to see if the son has returned. Our Heavenly Father daily goes to the gate and looks to see if we're going to come and spend time with Him. And those of us, maybe you know somebody that has strayed from the Lord, and you can pray for them because the Father is waiting for them to return. But look what He does. He didn't just stand at the gate and say, oh, I hope he soon gets here. His Father saw Him coming, filled with love and compassion. See, we picture the Lord as being angry and ready to say something judgmental to us because we made some bad decisions like the son did. But it said, filled with love and compassion, He ran to the son. Long way off, He saw Him, and He ran to the son, embraced Him, and kissed Him. So we have a good Father, don't we? So what I'd like to do as we close, just staying in our seats, is for us to take a minute and listen to this song. I want us to be grateful for our Heavenly Father, be grateful for our natural fathers, and also be grateful for those men who have been spiritual fathers to us.